Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe, and I've got Venerable Tom Dorian, looking wonderful. Do it now.
Walker Sims.
Hi, Walker.
Yeah. Hey, Walker.
Yeah.
That was Ziggy throwing a hay in there.
That's
hey.
Me. Hey. I was also doing the Forrest Gump wave.
That's exactly right. I'm so happy. This is radio, by the way. And so, so this is exciting. So why did you want to call out, just a shout out to Walker?
I visited their group, their Garcia group.
Okay. Oh, well, we're going to do a mutual shout-out. Ready? One, two, three. Hey! That is awesome. We love listeners. Without listeners, we would not be possible. So there you have it. Speaking of listeners, we're going to talk about domestic church. And the reason why I talk about domestic church is I get asked to do a lot of stuff as a deacon, and I'm happy to do it. Some things are a little harder than others, and some things are just fun, and I just had a fun one recently where I had a priest ask me if I would come to his parish and do kind of a mini mission, Lenten mission, and I'm just doing it on domestic church. His parish does something kind of neat in the same way that the Holy Father will pick a theme for the year, you know, the year of faith, the year of St. Joseph, the year of mercy, whatever, and there'll be these years that the Holy Father will announce. Well, he does the same thing for his parish. So at his parish, it's the year of domestic church. So they just make sure that... Yeah, so Our Lady Perpetual Help Church in Germantown, it's Father Jolly. And Father Jolly just wants this year to be focused on the domestic church and just making it, just putting it in the limelight there, to kind of people kind of focus on it, because domestic church is one of those things that people have heard that phrase, not really sure what it means exactly. They know it has something to do with family, and so he asked me if I would come out. You know, so they're doing this for the whole year. Now I just came out and preached six masses, and I'm going to tell you that was not easy. I'm an older guy now, and I was so worn out. You know, and I don't ever want to say that I'm tired of Jesus, but I have to say I was tested. I was the Satan was on my shoulder going, you don't need to go to Mass. Mass is not good. I needed to. Exactly. You would have been my Aaron and Hur if I was Moses. But all that aside, it was a little rough to do that. And then I basically invited them to a Monday night event. And, you know, your wife was there. Hey, Cindy. And... did she really? Well, good for her. But she's a...
Not surprised at all.
Well, I would be surprised. I'm not surprised that she would say something nice. She said nice things because she's a very nice person. And so it was just... It was actually... I think it was a pretty good event. And I think people... It resounded and with people where they are right now. And you know, from the point of view of... From the homily, getting to that evening event... It's a lot of stuff people, when they hear the word church, right? When you hear the word church, you think of something specifically. We Catholics tend to think of a building where we go on Sundays. We think of having a pastor. We think of the sacraments and the things that we do. We think of the hierarchy. We think of the organizational structure, from the Pope to the bishops, you know, on down to our priests and our lowly deacons, and we think of religious life, and so we think of this sort of city on a hill, which scriptures will refer to the church in that way. But we don't often think of the domestic church, and that's actually a thing that the Catechism specifically speaks about and defines, and the Catechism, of course, didn't invent anything. The Catechism reflects a 2,000-year-old faith, and even technically even older, going all the way back to our Jewish heritage, and in fact, creation. And so you start to realize this stuff. And domestic church is pretty vital and important, and it makes we just put a focus on it, you know. And one of the things I think got people there and wanted people to come was I said, look, you know, you have missions at churches, and they're usually 3, 4, 5, you know, nights, and you're called to come every night to this thing, and I said, you're getting off easy, you know. Father Jolly has like a one night mission. Can you just show up for one night? It was really easy to get people. There were a lot of people there. It really did fill the place up. And I was really happy to see that. And then we just talked about domestic church and the role of domestic church and why they're and how the domestic church is supposed to be, well, first of all, modeled after the Holy Family. But domestic church should be modeled after church. There should be elements of church at home.
Well, in St. Joseph, this is the month of St. Joseph, the first episode of Catholic Cafe in the month of St. Joseph, right?
Yeah.
And he is the patron of both the church domestic and the church universal. So that intersection is right there. And let's pray that he's right here with us as we do this show.
Yes, and let's thank him. He's the patron saint of baby aspirin. And so that's really St. Joseph's baby aspirin. I'm just teasing. No, absolutely. You're exactly right. And so St. Joseph was part of the discussion and part of the talk. And I spent some time in the homily helping people see the fact that God is pro-family and where that comes from. The Trinity is a family. God revealed himself as a family of persons. God created Adam. He looked at Adam and said, it's not good that man should be alone. And so he created for Adam a wife, a helpmate, Scripture says, to help him to get to heaven. And so there's the first family, you know, in line with the Trinity, the Holy, that great family. And then we also talk about, because one of the readings during Lent was the call of Abram, his vocational call, to be essentially the father of the family of faith, right? The father of many nations. And so we see this invocation of family into God's plan of salvation. And we see that all the way up to the New Testament culminates in the birth of Jesus Christ, which we hear every year in Advent and on Christmas Eve. We hear about this is how the birth of Jesus came about. And we've talked on this show many times about that Joseph wasn't biologically necessary or required for the Holy Family. And so he was going to divorce Mary and send her off quietly when she was found to be with child. And instead, the angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream and said, no, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. And so, and I always thought, why? And we've talked about this where God is pro-family. God wanted Jesus, our salvation, to be born in the context of a family, of a holy family, that would be sort of a model for families from that point forward.
Well, in the same way that within the Catholic philosophical and theological and moral tradition, we look to the perfect, right, to inform the good, right? So,
yeah.
Like, and we look at God, he is the highest standard of beauty, of truth, of goodness, of love. All of that is brought to perfection in God. And so I think what happened, and as you mentioned, of course, God himself is a family of persons,
yeah,
right, and being a Trinity. But, you know, I think that God loves us so much that in the same way that he willed to have his only begotten son, Jesus, take on flesh and enter into, you know, the human experience, he also wanted to give us a vision for the perfect human family within that context, so that we could look upon a family of human, two human persons and one divine person with human nature, you know,
yeah,
and see, you know, the model for our families. And I think it's precisely because of the importance of the families, of the family in the story of our salvation.
100%, exactly right. And it's a beautiful gift, and the fact that that we have this holy family to look to, and really to model and to pattern our own families after, shows us the importance of family and how God has always wanted us to be oriented to family, that we'd be born in families, that we'd be raised in a family, that essentially family is vital to all society, because even you know, even atheists who study anthropology and study human history and all of this will be the first to say that, like, well, having stable families is the stability of society. And our societies are built around the context of family, as is our salvation from a spiritual context. And so we see how important families are. And when we think of church, and like I said, we think of a church as a physical structure, as a place we go on Sundays, when in fact church should be everywhere that we are. And if we live in a domestic church, if we live in a holy family, a family that strives for holiness, that lives in the confines of church teaching, then what you're going to find is that church extends beyond the borders of your parish boundaries. And I think really that's where a lot of people, they wanted to hear more. It's like, well, wait, what do you mean? I mean, we try to do our best, but we're like any other modern 21st century family struggling to kind of get along with all the distractions in the world and all the other things that are going on. You know, and so we come to on Sunday and we keep the Lord's Day holy, and we want to go on Sunday Mass and get some inspiration and some rejuvenation and some renewal that comes to us in the form of grace through the sacraments, etc., and some good preaching and just a good time of being with God for an hour, you know, and then we go back into the world, right? And the church sees it differently. The Catholic Church sees the domestic church is reinforced at our Mass, at our church. But it mirrors, the domestic church mirrors like Holy Mother Church. And we should have church at home. And that we're raising people in the church. And this, and I presented material based on, like, look, even if you're not the most spiritual, holy person on the planet, you have to recognize that there are some great benefits from domestic church. I mean, if we want to fix the world's broken, the world's messed up. And there's really only one fixer, by the way. There's only one Savior. That's Jesus Christ, right? We aren't Jesus. However, he invites us into his mission. He invites us into what he's doing, into his plan of salvation. And so we are actually called to be saviors in the way that participating in the salvation that only Jesus Christ can provide, right? So being his missionaries, speaking his word, promulgating his teachings, and sharing and spreading love, evangelizing. That's what we're called to do. But we're called to do it in the context of church, right? So it's not enough to say that we go to church, but we need to live in church, and we live in the domestic church. And think about all the things. Wouldn't this world be a better place if everybody went to church?
Well, I mean, so, yes.
Yeah. No-brainer.
Well, yeah. Well, here's what
I don't know, Deacon Jeff.
No.
Let me do the counterpoint.
Well, so we have the human person that is found within the context of family, and then family extends out to community. But really, community, like the church, one of the ways in which the church has been historically described within, you know, the church by philosophers and theologians is as the perfect society. Yeah. Right. And that is. And so when we talk about community, like ideally in the kingdom of God, like, you know, we were talking about earlier, you look to the perfect, right, to inform what you should pursue here. If the world were completely within the context, we're willing participants, let's say, in the kingdom of God.
Right.
The kingdom of God is here, but not everybody has turned to the kingdom of God and decided to help usher in the kingdom of God, right?
Yeah.
But if we all had done that, then yes, it would be that relationship from person to family to community would be not just sort of like how we a lot of times in the secular world think of community as, oh, well, we've got the Chamber of Commerce and we've got these parks,
right,
and stuff like that. But actually,
don't forget McDonald's.
Yeah, right, right. You would think of it actually as your local church and the gathering of families and persons in communion with God. And that is actually, that's the standard for what society is called to be and what is journeying towards,
yes,
becoming.
100%. No, you're exactly right. And we extend this into our families. You think, like I said, some of the side benefit of having essentially domestic church, if it was fully functioning and active in every family, It's going to also, I think about your parish and how, oh, I wish we had more folks here at parish, at our parish, and, you know, Our Lady of the Dead Possum, and we just don't have enough people showing up, you know, and we're kind of out here in the middle of nowhere, and it's getting kind of thin, and my parish is getting older and older, and, you know, and it's like, what do we do? How do we grow our parish? And you think, look, if you have a domestic church model, you have people that long to be in community, as you were just talking about, long to be in this centralized form and function of community, in the spiritual gathering of families, and you long for that, and so your parish becomes more vibrant when you have more holy families, right? Because holy families do holy things, and they show up and be part of holy events, and they also want to increase holiness, and they want holiness to be this virus that's a good virus that spreads everywhere. This is what we're all called to do. And so having a fully functioning, active domestic church is going to make your parish better. It's going to be more vibrant. It's not like we just go there like we're showing up at a government facility to get our sacraments, like that we essentially go and say, I need the priest to hear my confession. I need the priest to confess, confect the Eucharist. And also it's good. We'll do a couple of good things. We'll help some charities or something. Or you know, we're going to do a food drive at the parish. And it's like, that's it. That's all. That's what the parish is. It's become that for so many people. And they'll say, well, yeah, I'm Catholic. But they're not really fully like supporting, like the precepts of the church. We're not engaged in the parish, and we know the minimums. We talked about the precepts of the church, and that's really sometimes viewed as a minimum. Yeah. And I don't want to offend anybody who's going like, well, what do you mean? We're not supposed to get the sacraments. And so, no, we are, but we're also supposed to give. Like we receive so that we can give. And not just like give, we're not just given charity so that we can give charity. It's we're given love so that we can share love. And that's why you want a vibrant parish, because that's just going to grow bigger and better and more effective and help more people, be more efficacious. And I think domestic church helps that happen. I would also, I mentioned also in this mini mission I gave, that one of the biggest problems, I think, challenges that the Catholic Church has in this day and age is vocations. We pray for vocations all the time, and people just expect vocations to happen. And what I tried to help people understand, I think, and this is just not my original thought. I've seen this so many times where some great Catholic thinkers have shared this kind of information. But if you're looking for an increase in vocations, you need to look to the domestic church, because here's the thing. At the end of the day, vocations come from somewhere. Right, they come from somewhere. Where does domestic church start? It starts with a holy marriage. You have a holy marriage. Well, what happens in a holy marriage? You're going to end up with a holy household. The two of you come together. That starts a domestic church. When you get married in a holy marriage, a sacramental marriage, you have started a domestic church. So this is a holy household now. And what happens? That holy marriage is going to bear fruit, which means you're going to have holy children. And they're going to be a holy family because they're raised in the context of a holy household, right? So everything's holy, right? Which means you're going to be participating as people grow up, and as your family grows, you're going to be taking part in holy sacraments, right? To sustain the family, to grow the family, to help the family stay and remain holy, right? Which is going to lead ultimately to a holy life, like, so as the family expands and goes out naturally. And a holy life is like a person who's living a holy life has the disposition of, God, what do you want of me? What are you calling me to be and to do? That's the nature of vocations, right? And so if you have more holy marriages and more holy households and more holy children, more holy families, more holy partaking of holy sacraments, then you have more holy lives. You have people wondering how can they be of service to the Lord. They're actually asking for a vocation. They're seeking a vocation. So naturally, we have more vocations in the church. And then that continues to fulfilled. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now you have more holy priests and deacons and holy sisters and brothers, holy marriages that happen because they're in a holy church. And then it all repeats itself and just continues to grow.
You know, there was a priest at a parish. I'm not going to mention the priest or the parish, but he had a very, very thick accent because he's not from the United States, and he had caught word that there was a lot of whispering among the parish, that there were a lot of complaints that they couldn't understand him because of his thick accent, and they weren't happy at all. And he got up there and he said, "You know what? He said in his thick accent, "My mom misses me very much. You know why I'm here instead of with my mom? Because you all have not been making priests. So how about you all do your job and make priests, and then you can send me home to be with my mom."
Hopefully, yeah. But they probably didn't understand him. So, at the end of the day, yeah, I don't know. He seems mad. I don't know. it is a great point. Now, I don't know if I would have said it that way, but it is a great point in that, like, when we complain about like all these foreign-born priests and why can't they? You know, I can't understand what they're saying, and you think like you want to, and I understand. That can be a lament, and it can be a challenge. It makes you sit forward in your, as they're preaching, you want to sit forward a little bit and pay attention, a little more attention, and try to do your best. But also realize that we're not doing a good job, right? We're getting worse and worse on the procreation level in like, for instance, in the United States. I think we're somewhere around 1.7 or 1.8 replacement rate. Well, that's not enough. It's a minimum of two. When two people come together in holy matrimony, then they need to create, part of God's plan of creation, two people to replace them. That's the way it's supposed to work. And when it's less, that means the population shrinks and it ages, right? Your young people have to take care of the older people. This is what what's happening in China. This is why you have all over the world people looking at the replacement rate and saying, "Hey, we all need to start. We need to have babies." Which, like, from a Catholic context, is let's start with holy matrimony, right? Mm-hmm. Let's get married, have a holy marriage, create a holy household, right? A domestic church, and that the fruit of that domestic church will be holy babies, right? Which leads to holy vocations, and this is what needs to happen. And so, like I said, I might have said it differently than that guy, but he's spot on. And so, this idea of a domestic church, I hope everyone realizes that this is a teaching of the Catholic Church. It's not like some kind of new age thing like, "Hey, have you heard about that thing called the domestic church?" It's this new thing they've come up with. It's not a new thing, right? It started with Adam and Eve. From the very beginning of time, this is the way things were organized and structured, and how God ministers to us and then asks us to be part of his plan of salvation, his plan of creation. I mean, it's quite beautiful to see it all roll out and take place, but then it's also devastating when you lose sight of how important and vital this is to human nature, to the human world, to all of us, whether we believe in God or not. It's vital. And so when you have like communists and atheists saying like, "We need to have more babies," you should take note that we who call ourselves a Christian nation, right, are losing a sense of our Christian duty to essentially be part of God's plan of salvation, God's his plan of co-creation. Well, we help create babies. He gives us this great gift that we're hedging on that. We're not doing what we're called to do.
Instead, we're seeking bigger houses but with smaller families.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I had our first house was a little tiny house, and we had a lot of kids. And the house that I had was built in the 1961, I think, the first house that we bought, and it had like no closets. Oh, yeah. Back then, they didn't have big closets because you didn't have a lot of stuff.
Right.
Now we have.
And/or there's no desk.
Right. Well, you got yeah.
In, sideways.
It has to kind of turn exactly. Kind of catty corner or whatever. Yeah. Because you didn't have that money. It's like, well, I've got my seven shirts and I've got three pairs of pants. What else do I need? You know, and now we have these walk-in closets, and not just for the clothes, but we have storage galore, you know, where we've just accumulated things, and things are bigger and bigger and bigger in these bigger houses, and we fill them up with stuff, but we don't fill them up with babies.
Speaking of families, babies and filling them up, we just found out we're expecting our fourth grandbaby.
Yay, wonderful. That's fantastic.
Are they going to name it Ziggy?
Probably not. I'm just going to go ahead and say probably not. There's an Eastern saint, Saint Zbigniew, I think is who that is. And yeah, Saint Ziggy. That's great news. That's great news. That's something to be celebrated. We're Bess and I. Hi, Bess. We're waiting on the floodgates to open. You know, with 9 kids, I've just got the three married. I think we might have a 4th marriage happening here pretty soon. Not going to say who, but I am going to say I have been asked by a certain young man, and I'm not going to say anymore because I don't want to get in trouble. But yeah, well, and so at the end of the day, yeah. I'm just going to say that we're looking forward to that. And so it's just these are little celebrations we need to, like, shout from the mountaintops. And don't make them little celebrations. Make them big celebrations, because this is what the world needs. We need – if you want to save the world, you've got to save the family. We've got to go back and just understand how God created, what he created, why he created, and then how he expected us to live our lives as human beings, as the crown of his creation. And we need to get back to that. It's like getting back to the basics. And so save the family, save the world. And part of God's plan of salvation, our one Savior, Jesus Christ, we're on the same mission. We're invited into his mission by him. And that's why all of us, you know, we should celebrate domestic church. We should revisit what the domestic church is. And we should call to mind all that the church teaches about domestic church. For those who think, like, how do we do this? I've come up with a list of 10 easy ways to get started in doing this. But we don't have enough time. And so I think the next show, I think we're going to focus on 10, like a to-do list, how to create domestic church in your home. And first of all, let's ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to be with us on this journey of family. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.